What up, world? It's Man Diggity, Road to Victory podcast. Today, we got a repeat offender. We got a special guest in the building. She needs no introduction. Again, just an incredible human being. We got Shanique Clark in the building. I always fumble your name.
I know. It's so long and short. Like, Shanique is like eight letters. Clark is like so short. But yes, thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
How you feeling? How you feeling?
I'm feeling good. You know, church really set the tone. I have to go to church every Sunday. It will literally set the tone for the week. So it has done its job. And the service was like impeccable. So I'm feeling really good. And I just finished cooking dinner. So I got a lot done.
I love that. Dinner done at 2:30.
Yes, I had to. Because I was like, after we're done, I'm going to eat.
It's funny, growing up, dinner was like 9, 10 o'clock.
And that's, you know what's so interesting? Like, in the West Indian culture, dinner is way earlier. Like, by 9, 10 o'clock, you in bed. Dinner is usually done by, like, 3, 4. Like, so you just eating early. Right. So I was like, I don't know, just doing some lobster and asparagus in the oven. So, you know, fancy.
That's what's up, eating good.
Yes, thank God. Thank God only.
All right. So I wanted to ask you, you know, the first 8 days of the year for you, how has it been? How has the world treated you?
By the grace of God, I'm alive. But I was really sick. Like, I went to church for New Year's Eve service. And then I went back to church for the New Year's Day, so that actual Sunday. And I felt like this headache, but I thought it was just like a regular headache because I grew up struggling with migraines. And so I was like, oh, I'll just take a pill and get over it. But by like 3, 4 o'clock, maybe 5 o'clock in the morning, that next day, I was just really out of it. Like, I mean, throwing up profusely and seriously dehydrated. So for the first 3 days of the year, I was busy like trying to get my health together, try to gain some strength, but I'm good now. I'm healed by his word. And so it's been good. I'm happy to see a new year because this is the year of the seven.
Right.
And if you know, biblically, seven is God's number. You see it a lot in the Bible. And so 2023 adds up to seven. So I believe that for all the bad things that was experienced last year, this year is going to be the year where we begin to see the fruits of our labor.
Right.
So it's been good. How about yourself? What did you do?
Hey, you know, I brought the new year in with family and stuff like that.
I saw the pictures. It looks fun.
Yeah, it was kind of, I guess I'm just settling because I don't drink no more. Mm. You know, I'm like 6 months sober, right?
Yes.
So,
sobriety.
I know, man. It was terrible. When I was in that dark place, it was dark.
It was
real dark. So it was like, you know, drinking like gallons and gallons. And then I lived by myself, so it was like not being social. I just got off the phone with my boy. He was like, "You the most socially awkward person I ever known in my life." So it was like my first New Year's without drinking, without turning up and stuff like that. So, and I'm still getting used to it, you know, going to these places, and because I'm so used to alcohol forming my personality, creating my personality and stuff like that. So I'm just getting used to settle that. But the most important thing that I realized is like, all this stuff I had planned for the new year is definitely out the window. But it's not really a bad thing, because it's like it just like a transfer of thinking. You know, before the year came, I had these ideas on what I'm gonna do, and I feel like the new year's here now is like me literally dissecting these goals and stuff like that. Like, all right, I said what I said, but now it's time to like go a layer deep, go a layer deeper, and like to the bottom, to the dig the roots out and stuff like that.
I love that. It's the time to put in the work. So you laid the foundation. Now it's like put in extra work. Not say you didn't do any work, but extra work. But it's going to work out.
And then I found the cheat code along the way. You know what the cheat code is?
What's the cheat code? Let me know.
For a successful life?
What?
That there's no help coming. Nobody coming to help you. Nobody coming to save you. Like, I feel like in order to be successful or whatever you... I mean, I know a lot of people, versions of success is different, you know? Like some people are just successful if they woke up. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But
I think for the success I want in my life, you know, it's like, yo, Aunt, you're going to have to build Rome by yourself. You
yeah.
know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it won't be until, you get to the point where people start and see the sculpture and then join.
That's usually how it is.
Because they want to feel a part of something.
Exactly.
You know what
exactly. I think that's like that FOMO. Like people all have that fear of missing out. So when they see that other people have done it and then you're starting it too, they're like, oh no, I need to get on this too, because you just never know how it's going to turn out. Like it's a gamble, but it can work in your favor. So they don't want to miss out on anything.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And I'm just now, you know, top of the year, I'm just now realizing now, I'm like, okay, because I want to do so much, you know what I'm saying? I want to excel at this podcasting thing. I'm like, okay, if you want to excel at the podcasting, you're going to have to learn how to edit. You're going to have to learn how to, you know, create an intro that attracts people. You know, your substance gonna have to be deeper and stuff like that. Like all of this, doing music. I still have a passion for music since like 15 years old. You know, and I have yet to release like a official project.
You know, I used to manage a studio.
You did?
Small world. I used to manage the studio that's owned by Jerry Wonder. Who is the cousin of Wyclef. So they both used to own the studio, and then there was a division between a Jersey studio and a New York studio, and I was running the New York studio at the age of 22.
Woo!
22, I was running Platinum Sound Studios right there over by Times Square. So I love music.
That is insane.
Yeah.
how was that?
It was definitely interesting because I just came home from college. That was a rough year because I remember I started the job around the time my grandmother died. So my grandmother died October 7, 2014. And I couldn't find a job, but I got all these internships. So I said, you know what? I'll just take it because I still needed, I think it was like 4 extra credits. So I needed 3 credits, and I was getting all 3 credits from Universal Attractions Agency, which was originally James Brown's agency. So the person who managed him began that agency. So I was working directly under Naughty by Nature's manager, and I was able to acquire the job that was supposed to be an admin position at Platinum, but the manager at the time was pregnant and going on maternity leave. So she was training me to take over. And you know, sometimes with pregnancy, you just don't know how you're gonna feel. Mm-hmm. And there were times where literally I was just working. I was counting the money, putting everything in the system, set up sessions. And you have to know which artists have issues with which artists, so you cannot book them same time. Wow. So we worked closely with other studios like Daddy's House, which is Diddy's studio. So sometimes like we'll have to tell Epic, like this artist has to go to Daddy's House. They cannot come here because we have Bobby Schmurder coming here tonight. So it was a lot. It was fun, especially because I'm fresh out of college. I'm getting my feet wet into the working world.
Right.
But it went to show a lot to me. Like there's a lot of things I didn't want out of life, but there were also a lot of things I wanted out of life that I learned from there. So I've met some amazing people out of there. One of my good friends, shout out to Barrington B. Hall. He's actually now one of Lil TJ's producers. So he's doing his thing out there in California. He went out there on a dream and he's killing it. And of course, Chris G, he opened the studio in Jersey. Shout out to him. So everyone is just doing it. Cameron is working for Alicia Keys by Hudson Yards. So honestly, it just feels good to know that I started in the trenches with some great, talented producers and engineers. So it was a great thing to walk away with, honestly. So shout out to all of them.
Hey, that's magnificent, because you know what? Success leaves clues, man, all the time. Yes. All the time, success leaves clues. And what I wanted to talk to you about today is that inner work. That inner work, that inside when nobody's watching, you know what I'm saying? That character and integrity you're supposed to have, you know? And I say success leaves clues because I give you an example. I went to Atlanta one time, right? Mm-hmm. First time, I think this was my first boys trip. It was like 2 years ago. It was going on 2 years ago, right? First, me and the homies, first trip ever together.
Really?
We go to Atlanta, but we went for some stupid stuff. We went to Atlanta to celebrate Bronx Day. We could have did that in the Bronx. So to go to Atlanta to get the Atlanta experience, but it's everybody I know and I grew up with in the Bronx at the same time. So the whole Bronx just went to Atlanta, and I kind of ruined the trip for me.
Well, you know, when Bronx people show up, things change.
Yeah. So check this out. My boy, one of my right hands, my day ones, right? He had a friend that already lived out there, right? Mm-hmm. And first, our Airbnb wasn't ready. It wasn't ready, so we kicked it at his house. So we kicking it at, he invite a group of strangers, like he only knew one of us. It was like six of us. He invite a group of strangers at the crib. And I'll never forget, it was like we knew each other forever. That's how he treated, that's Southern hospitality. Mm-hmm. So anyway, a couple days go by. He was like, yo, come back. I'll come back this day. I'm making breakfast. And we came back. It was like a whole fold. We talking like 1,000 pieces of bacon, 1,000 pieces of sausage. You know what I'm saying? It was like something I've never experienced that, you know, big kitchen and everything, right? So I go there. And I'm just like, he had the huge backyard. The backyard was so big, we played football, like a full football game in it, right? Grown men. So I'm just like, yo, the reason why he's blessed like this, because look how he treats people, you know what I mean? People that he ain't even know. He cooked a whole fold just for breakfast, you know, just for us. And I'm just like, wow. That says a lot about like character and integrity and just who you are. Sometimes you just bless because you bless other people. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. My mom always says that. She's like, do good. Matter of fact, my mom says that, but I was in a hair salon and there were these siblings that were fighting over the tablet. And the mother said to the little boy, you have to share. And he's like, why? And she was like, because it's nice to be nice. And he was like, but I don't want to. And then she said, but you'll get the blessing for it.
Right.
And so I was like, yeah, that I needed to hear that myself. So that's actually true. How you treat people can dictate, you know, a lot of your blessings.
Especially in a world where we all looking to be blessed. You know what I mean? We all want to be blessed. You know what I'm saying? But we don't even take a step back to remotely say like, yo, I could be a blessing to somebody else.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So that's what I had on my heart today. Another thing, you know, I know last week we started to touch on relationships and I kind of want to pick up mm-hmm. where we left off, and I wanted to be real with you. Could I be real with you?
Sure.
You know, yesterday morning, I woke up I woke up and it's strange. Not even strange. I would just be 100 with you. I woke up so horny. I wanted to cry. I've never experienced that in my life, right? And this is a testament, because the day before, I was talking to this guy at the job. He's like real in like the spiritual realm, and he talk about like pornography and like semen retention and stuff like that, you know, just holding back and like, I guess, the pros and cons and stuff like that. So I think that anything that you go through, like say you're a smoker and you say, I'm gonna stop smoking, the next day is gonna be weed everywhere, you know what I'm saying? and that's your battle. That's literally your test, you know what I'm saying, to get over that obstacle, get over that hump. So we just had that conversation about like semen retention and how powerful you could be if you could use it, you know what I'm saying, righteously. You know what I'm saying? Be righteous when it comes to like sexual desires and stuff like that. So my test was waking up, you know, yesterday morning, and I'm just at like a weird place, like, yo, I'm not just gonna sleep with anybody, and I come to a realization, you know, I could eat anywhere, but it's a difference when you want to be, when you being fed. So right. I could go anywhere to eat,
right?
I want to go somewhere where I'm fed, meaning like I want it to like mean something and to be special. But you know, as I think back to my last relationships, it was like, yo, I was with amazing women, but I didn't feel amazing myself, you know? And I was a serial monogamous. I would go from one relationship to the next.
Ah, you were one of those.
Yeah, serial monogamous. I would, if I liked the girl and my relationship was rocky, I would break up with that girl, then go move on like that. But I never had two girls at the same time. Never had two girls at the same time. So, what you call it? So I broke up with my last couple of relationships because the women were amazing and I didn't feel amazing, if I'm keeping it a buck.
Yeah.
I didn't feel amazing. So, and how do you break up with somebody like that? You like, yo, listen, you deserve the world. You deserve a guy that's gonna love you the way you need it to be loved. And I can't love you right, because I'm not even there with myself.
But at least you own it, right?
Yeah.
Because like in my experience, prior to like my relationship with this guy, that's always been the case. Like I can be in a relationship, everything is good. But I guess there was a sense of insecurity within the guy where they felt, because it was like a few, they felt like, listen, I got to let you go because you're too good of a person. And I appreciate the honesty, but it became annoying because I kept becoming the homie. I didn't want to be the homie, like the one that they can just talk to about things. I mean, listen, I appreciate the honesty, but it's just like, when you get put in that friend zone after being in a relationship, that's a hard pill to swallow. Even that's why I learned to understand why a lot of people said, if I can't have you, I don't want the friendship, because right. you're now going to hear about what they're giving somebody else that they didn't want to give to you because you were just too good, which doesn't seem like a good enough of a reason. But if it's their truth, it's their truth.
Right.
You know?
Right. It's tough. It's tough.
It is tough. Dating these days is like, it's rough. I know a lot of women who used to have some really high standards who are at the point now where they're like, listen, I don't care if he has an addiction, I'll take him. I don't care if he likes to gamble, I'll take him. Like, I don't care if he homeless, I'll take him. Like,
that's a glass half full type person.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like everything went out the window. And at first I was like, girl, like, love yourself a little bit more. But as I got older, I began to understand what happens. Like, you, as a woman, we don't feel an actual clock, but your body is reminding you that you're getting older. And then society is reminding you that you're older, especially when you see people younger than you getting pregnant or getting in relationships. You feel like that FOMO that I spoke about earlier coming all over again. And so you get desperate. And right. With FOMO, is either you be patient or you settle. There's only two avenues with this one. And a lot of the women that I've met or just come across in conversation, what it appears to be is that they settled. However, I always try to look at things like, you don't know what that guy gives to her that makes her feel like a woman. So I don't want to judge their relationship. I just know the beginning story where I'm just like, gambler, he gonna take your money. But you know, that's not my business. I'm gonna mind my business. But it's like it gets tough as you get older, because you don't want to miss out on having kids or having that experience that's glorified on TV, or just always wake up to an empty bed. Like that's depressing. It can be. So I definitely get it, you know.
Then it's like, what are you gonna compromise? What are you gonna sacrifice in order to make things work?
Right.
And at the same time, it's like, damn, I don't want to be like 60 and then my child is like,
you know what I mean? Like, listen, it's terrible. It's terrible. As a woman, it's so scary, because as a Black woman, I want to emphasize that, because that's necessary. Already the pool is slim, because Black men are targeted as, you know, serial violent offenders, or they're dangerous, or they're hood. There's all these stereotypes and stigmas that affects the pool of Black men. And when you weed out those that are for you and not for you, it's very few left, to the point where you begin to say, I don't want to swim in this pool no more. Let me jump in that pool. Like, you know, and I've dated white guys before. It just didn't work out for me. You know what I mean? Because I just felt like culturally I would have to do too much teaching, and I didn't want that. I wanted to come to the table where it's like, we get each other. Like, my parents are Jamaican. You don't have to be Jamaican, but like, you understand a thing or two. Like, not to call Antigua, Antigua. That's my biggest pet peeve. Like, and once the second white guy dated said it, I was like, okay, I don't want to be stereotypical. So I'm going to say, all of y'all say it. Then I'm watching TV, Andy Cohen said it. I said, okay, it's a white people thing. So, so I'm like, no.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I had a white therapist, and then the certain stuff I was saying, she couldn't understand it because, you know, culturally,
doesn't make her a bad person. It's just
but she introduced me some stuff that she done that worked all my life till today too. So it's like, you know,
yes, I love to hear that you had a therapist. I think that's so important to promote as a Black man.
You know, my therapist really helped me stop drinking, you know.
Yeah,
definitely. Gave me ideas like to-do lists, go volunteer, you know, just ways to occupy not just my time but my mind. You know, all gave me options to all the stuff I could be doing besides drinking.
Right. You know, well, I definitely empathize with that, because you know my story. So
yeah. So let me ask you, 2023, is there anything that you haven't done that you look forward to accomplishing this year?
Yes. So there's like a list of things. I have a vision board in my bedroom that I look at every morning. And literally everything on it are things I want to accomplish. Like, I'm working on my real estate license for New Jersey.
Oh, look at you.
So I'm hoping to pass the test. It's actually very difficult. So this is my third time trying, but I encourage whoever's interested to just keep going. Once I pass New Jersey, I'm going to consider going for other states as well. I also, because I work for the Food Network, supporting the president, vice president, and senior vice president. Luckily, my boss is so cool, so understanding, and just really genuinely encouraging. She's open to giving me production opportunities. So I'm excited about that because everyone who knows me knows I've always wanted to produce. I've always wanted to produce content. I just was never given the opportunity for whatever reason. And so now I have someone in my corner who supports me. So I thank God for bringing the right people into my life because I prayed for this. Like, right. I literally wrote out a list last year, like what I don't want in my life and what I would like to welcome into my life. And I just ask God to keep it aligned with his will too. Like, so if anything's on it that doesn't belong, feel free to take it off, Lord. But, you know, hopefully there isn't. But I also want to have a baby this year. I'm just thinking out loud. I literally, Anthony, I've had 3 dreams over the last 3 weeks of me with a little girl. So yeah. I'm wondering, is that God telling me I'm going to have a baby girl? Like, well, you know.
That sound more like a premonition.
It does.
Like a manifestation, you know what I mean?
And I already have this set up. I have the whole 2-bedroom apartment, so it's like, yeah. And the funny part is I wasn't even looking for this apartment for myself. I was looking for this apartment for someone else, and then I was like, they didn't want to pay the amount. I was like, I'll take it. And I took it.
Yeah, that's crazy. Well, also, shout out to the Food Network.
Shout out to the Food Network and HGTV. They are some amazing people who are producing amazing content. They are the kindest people I've ever worked with. I kid you not.
Oh,
like,
wow.
They are so nice, so kind. Like, these are genuine people. Like, I think when people talk about an ideal job or at least a healthy work environment, it's reflected in these departments. And I'm sure the other departments that are under Warner Bros. Discovery, but these are the teams I'm with. So therefore, I can see it firsthand that these are some amazing people who are just killing the game, honestly. Right.
You know, it's funny that you work for the Food Network because, you know, every time I go to my grandmother's house, she always watching the Food Network.
Mine too.
with no food in the fridge. So it's just like the Food Network is like
it's
a dream.
It's so tempting. And it's such a tease. It's like sometimes I'll watch Guy's Kitchen and I'm just like, I should go grocery shopping. Or I'll watch like a baking show and I'm like, I got yellow cake in the kitchen. I could just bake something. Like, it makes you want to just do something or order, honestly. Because I'm going to Uber Eats after watching those channels, right. And I'm like, I want some I want lamb chops. You get bougie with it too. Hey,
for real. You know, our favorite show is the guy in the red car driving from restaurant to restaurant.
Is that Bobby Flay? I could be wrong.
I don't know. He got the blonde spike hair.
Oh, that's like Guy. That. Yeah.
Yeah, Guy. Yeah. We watch that all the time. Every time I go over there.
No,
shout out to my grandmother.
Yes.
Yo, the last time I went over there, we watched all of the 50 Shades of Grey together.
Really?
My grandmother, 80 years old.
Is your grandmother uptown?
Nah, she's in Coney Island.
Oh, she's in Coney Island.
Okay. Yeah, so that's the funniest thing. We watched 50 Shades of Grey. She was like, watch all the stuff he do to this girl. I need to find... Yo, almost 80 years old.
I love her. A guy
like that.
No, grandma is not playing. I love her. Yes, shout out to her. She knows she would. She knows what she would, please.
Oh, man, that's hilarious.
That is funny. No, but it's amazing. God's been good. God's been really good, so, yeah.
All the time. So, now... How would you say, I know I probably asked you this, but what are some keys like for you to, you know, just keep your sanity, you know what I mean?
It's funny because I had a meltdown this week and the only thing that brought me back up was a conversation with a good friend who reminded me I have no reason to feel that way because there's another side to the story. Right. See, the thing is, what the enemy likes to do, he likes to highlight something so small. So it could be bad, but it's really small. compared to your blessings.
Right.
But it's our job to remind ourselves, no, I got it good. Like, for instance, and I don't even want to put the person's business out there, but the person I'm dealing with, you know, their family's going through a lot right now. And I had to put into perspective, it could have been worse for me. I could have been in their shoes going through what they're going through.
Right.
And you don't realize how much God has saved you. Not to say God's not saving them, but we all have a different walk. Right. Our story is not going to look the same. Like, you know, you and I have discussed addictions, and transparently, I've battled with my own fair share of addictions. I had an addiction to pills, and I had an addiction to marijuana, and it was God who saved me from pushing that habit to a limit that could have cost me my life, because now we see people dying of fentanyl overdoses, and fentanyl is something that they're putting in all sorts of medications and weed and God knows whatever else is out there, or just mixing weed with K2, and it could be really bad, right?
Right.
And so sometimes it's just a quick conversation with yourself, like, it's not that bad. It's really not. Or just remind yourself of when it was worse, to remind you that it's really not that bad. It's a conversation that you have to have with self, because there's three voices in our heads, right? We have our voice, God's voice, and the voice of the enemy. And sometimes the voice of the enemy sounds like God's voice, but it's not, because the Bible says that he likes to mimic God. He likes to come as a light, and he's not. So what we have to do is constantly pray for discernment and pray for wisdom and strength, because he's going to attack.
Right.
But how we fight back, that's it right there. That's the key in itself. And so I try to, like, what I try to practice, I like to journal now. I even use it in my phone. So shout out to technology. I can just go in notes and just, you know, click on the microphone and just talk to the phone, and it's writing down everything that I'm saying.
Right.
Just to get it out of my head. And sometimes, like, I even caught myself reading back to, like, a journal I wrote last year, February, where I was like, oh my God, like, I've come a long way. And that helps, right? Just writing it down to see the growth. Because sometimes we forget. We only use but so much of our brain on a regular. So sometimes we forget how far we've come. And sometimes we're lucky enough to have friends to remind us, you're doing good. You came a long way. You used to be angry. You know what I mean? Now you just, like, praising God, all types of stuff. Like, shout out to you. Like, you know, it's those healthy reminders, but we have to condition ourselves. Another technique I like to practice is, a good friend of mine suggested it, using the alarms on my phone for different purposes. So my alarm can go off at 6 a.m. That's an alarm to pray. I can set an alarm for 9 a.m. That's an alarm to pray. Like, just different times of the day. I can set an alarm for 12 o'clock. What am I grateful for? That way I'm speaking positivity and strength into myself throughout the day with the reminder of the same technologies we use to do a job for 8 hours a day. We can do it for ourselves. And so it's just little small things like that I like to incorporate, just to stay sanity, because this world's tough, you know? You know, we're watching people all the time going through a lot of stuff, abuse, you know, drug addiction, overdoses, heart attacks is something I've been seeing a lot lately. And it's very much so spiritual, where we have to pray against it, because the enemy's out to destroy what God is trying to use to save many people. And so we have to armor up. We got to armor up.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just talking to my cousin, and he was like, yo, this year, you know how you say this is the year of seven?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was telling me last night, you know, while we was watching the fight, this year is like the opposite. You know, you take the zero from 2023. That's 223. He said that's a number of death.
Who said that?
My cousin.
I don't receive that. I don't know that. No.
But he was saying, like, yo, this year is gonna be the year where a lot of things that we never saw before, you know, come to life. And it's like, as soon as he said it, we was watching the fight, and a boxing match, and a fight broke out in the crowd
with Meek Mill, right? Yeah. I saw it in the vlogs.
We've been watching boxing our whole life, and we never saw nothing like that ever. You know what I'm
saying? Was it a physical fight? Because I just saw a picture.
I think so. You know, Meek Mill tweeted that, yo, a dude wanted to fight him because he said the fight wasn't going to go 12 rounds.
Oh, my God. Listen, people get real serious. And, you know, but there's more to that, right? Like, the root of him saying that's the cause of the fight. Yeah. If we were to ask other person, that person probably got money bet on that game, and that could be money he needs for his rent or for his kids.
He, so he's put like, it all on the parlay.
You know what I mean? Like, don't put all that out there. Like, I gotta get this. You know, it could be so much, but it sounds so fickle.
But that's what I learned. Yo, facts over feeling. Like, yo, people tell me hurtful things about myself all the time, and I be hurt. I'm like, oh. I be hurt, but you know, if it's truth in it, I gotta work on that little bit of truth over my feelings being hurt. You know what I mean?
So you're not sensitive?
I am sensitive. Okay. I am sensitive, but I choose to, you know what I'm saying? I heard this one story. He said a father put a gun to two of his son's head and said, I love you, but I'll kill you.
Oh my gosh.
You know, one of the sons
spirit.
Yeah, but one of the sons never heard his father say he loved him. So he took the love out of that, and he lived a prosperous life because, you know what I'm saying? He heard love, and the other son heard kill. And right now he's serving 40 years in jail.
Oh my God. So you see, this is why you have to be prepared when you have kids, right? And there's no real manual. But by prepared, I mean, you have to know what it means to pour into your children, like telling them positive things, because they live to that. You have people who are 35, 40 years old who are still traumatized by things that happened to them when they were seven. Yes. So you have to be careful what you say, especially to your kids, because the power of the mouth from a parent to a child hits way deeper than from a stranger to a child. Because if your mother's saying, and your mother brought you into this world, but your mother, every time she gets mad at you, she calls you a B-I-T-C-H, yeah, then you're going to grow up and you're going to claim that, not knowing that B-I-T-C-H is not just what a female dog is. It's deeper than that. It's a female demonic spirit. So when you call yourself that, you're encouraging it. Just like the word thug is a demonic spirit. People got to do their research about the words. The power of language and the knowledge behind it is so important, because we're speaking things into life and we don't even know what we're saying, but we're living the ripple effect. Right. So that's interesting. I'm sorry that happened to that man. 40 years is a long time.
Yeah. So it's like really, really how you feel shouldn't matter when it comes to like the facts.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But to put a bow on this, I think I asked you this last time. I don't know if I asked you this question the last time, but you know, what would you tell your 18-year-old self?
Oh, what would I tell my 18-year-old? It's going to work out.
It's going to work out.
Don't give up. Trust the process. That's my favorite line. I might get it tatted. Trust the process and be confident in your voice. Don't let anyone scare you into saying what's right. Do the right thing. Because later down the line, you're going to be very proud of yourself for standing up for yourself. And you never know who's watching, so they could be learning too.
Mm-hmm. What's my favorite saying? My favorite saying is that your obedience is connected to so many other people's destiny.
It's just different.
Yo, Zan Diggity. Let's go. Only in proven. This man is fantastic. To only celebrate with people you was in the lab with. Chemistry, energy. If it's meant to be, then it's meant for me. Social studies, creating history. I'm talking homework. Only paper was loosely wooden wingman. Couldn't afford a two-piece. My life is like a movie. Zombie though, dead special. God bless you. Had to participate in my own rescue. Uncle said, go ahead, nephew. Keep pushing forward. Remain sinner. But I'm looking forward. Stevie Star praying for a sign. Just point guard on the road to victory. Said nothing about a scorecard. Filled with your scar with bruises. Nothing leaked through though. Started learning self-love. Started letting people go. Basic education, but still feel the need to know. Standing in the mirror. Asking where the leaders go. The teachers go. He reading slow. Maybe he's remedial. Watch me even the odds. Got up on that TV show. It's unbelievable. Sorta like what Big said. But I'm dope like Tobey. No wig way.